Well, good morning. I'm glad to see everybody out here. My name's Dale Miller. I am not the regular pastor here. Our pastor, Dustin, is on sabbatical right now. That's why we took the collection early. But I am here to give the message today. And thank you, worship team, for that song. It fits in really well with the message I'm going to share with you today. I had a little bit of a rough week, and it's really Sebastian's fault. Because all week, I kept on thinking about what he said last week, and every time I saw a squirrel out in the backyard, I thought, what has changed? 70% of the nuts that he's saving, he will not find. I almost felt like I had to go out and put a little flag, so when he comes back, there might be a better way for him to do that. But it did make for a little bit of a rough week. Storms. I got to thinking weeks ago about storms. We've been having quite a few throughout the nation around here. They come in. Storms blow in with ferocity that rocks us to the core sometimes. Other times, we have a little bit of a warning. We can prepare ourselves. Other times, it just comes out of the blue. And we don't even have time to get to a place of safety. According to Google, the term storm comes up 37 times in the Bible. There are some stories where the storm is the central key to the lesson that we're supposed to learn. In others, it just seems to be a sideline. For instance, Jonah. How did he end up in the ocean? It was a storm. One of the stories about storms must be very important because it appears both in Matthew 8 and in Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now, it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" I like that story. But one of my favorites comes from Matthew 14, 22 to 23. And it's the story when Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back in the boat, the wind ceased. Isn't that how we react sometimes? Storms of life come in and they bowl us over. And at first, our faith stands firm. But sometimes, that shadow of doubt just comes upon us. Last week, Sebastian talked about Job, which is an awesome story about a man with solid faith. Now, it was a storm the top of the building as he lost his children, but most of the storms Job faced were not literal storms. They were storms of financial loss. They were storms of possessions gone, friends accusing, and doubt. You name it, it happens. It happens to us. In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, Jesus tells us to build our house on the rock so it will withstand the onslaught of the storms. I don't want you to get the impression that these storms are overwhelming to me. I have lived a blessed life, but I have been through storms in my life. I can remember several of them. I'll give you just a couple. The first one that I can really remember is when I was leaving for Southeast Asia. I got this overwhelming feeling that I wouldn't be coming back. And my faith wasn't strong enough at that time to withstand the constant videos and stuff that we were seeing on a daily basis of the war that was going on there. I really didn't think I'd come back. But God had a better plan, a bigger plan for my life. I just didn't know it. Later on in my life, after I was married and had kids, we found out that the Bethlehem Steel was closing. I had planned to retire from there. I had no other plan. I hadn't gone to college after high school. I didn't have really that much of a background. I thought I was in trouble. But as it turned out, my father had passed away just a year before, so when the Bethlehem Steel closed, I took over at night. I'd go over with my mother and help do the books and start taking care of the shop, and eventually started running the shop, which was actually a better job than what I had at the Bethlehem Steel. That started to consume a lot of my time, and I started to lose time with my family. Things didn't work out there. There were some differences of opinion, and I left the shop. Again, I thought I was in a storm of my life. So I went back to school, and I started teaching. I found a job in a position that filled me with a great sense of responsibility and just fun dealing with kids on a daily basis, helping to get young kids learn a trade, and it was just one of the most enjoyable times in my life. But when all this started, I thought this storm was going to really just bowl me over. But it didn't. It was a blessing in disguise. Because I found a position, I found a job that I loved and enjoyed for 26 years. In Max Lucado's book, The Eye of the Storm, there's a story. It was a little lengthy, so I shortened it as much as I could. But it talks about this storms in our life that sometimes are blessings. And I just want to read you a portion of this. Once there was a man who lived in a tiny village. Although poor, he was envied by all, for he owned a beautiful white horse. Even the king coveted his treasure. A horse like this had never been seen before, such was its splendor, majesty, and strength. People offered fabulous prices for the steed, but the old man always refused. "This horse is not a horse to me," he would tell them. "He's a friend, not a possession. How could you sell a friend?" One morning he found that the horse was not in the stable. All the village came to see him. "You old fool," they scoffed. "We told you someone would steal your horse. It would have been better to have sold him. No amount would have been too high. Now the horse is gone and you have been cursed with a misfortune." The old man responded, "Don't speak too quickly. Say only that the horse is not in the stable. That is all we know. The rest is judgment." "If I've been cursed or not, how can you know? How can you judge?" The people contested, "Don't make us out to be fools. We are not philosophers, but great philosophy is not needed. The simple fact that your horse is gone is a curse." The man spoke again, "All I know is that the stable is empty and the horse is gone. The rest, I don't know. Whether it be a curse or a blessing, I can't say." The people of the village laughed. They always thought he was a fool. If he wasn't, he would have sold the horse. But instead, he was a poor woodcutter, dragging wood out of the forest for sale, living hand to mouth in misery and poverty. After 15 days, the horse returned. He hadn't been stolen. He had run away into the forest. Not only had he returned, but he had brought a dozen wild horses with him. Once again, the village people gathered around the woodcutter and spoke. "Old man, you were right and we were wrong. What we thought was a curse was a blessing. Please forgive me." The man responded, "Once again, you go too far. Say only that the horse is back. State only that a dozen horses returned with him. But don't judge. How do you know if it's a blessing or not? You only see a fragment. You don't know the whole story. You read only one page of a book. Can you judge a whole book? Life is so vast, yet you judge all of life with one page or one word. All you have is a fragment. Don't say this is a blessing. No one knows. I'm content with what I know. I'm not perturbed by what I don't know." And the story continues, and the old man's son tries to break the horses, and he breaks his leg. And again, the villagers come back and say, "Well, now you have been cursed. Your son broke his leg." But shortly thereafter, war breaks out, and his son can't go to war. And the villagers come back and say, "This, what we thought was a curse was a blessing." But not knowing the whole picture, we don't know. Almost 10 years ago, storm clouds started forming within our family. Our daughter was diagnosed with cancer. And the battles that she had raged for years, pounding her and pounding the family because it was hard. It was terrible. But even within that time, there were periods of great blessing and change. Amy found a prayer group and a Bible study, and she dove into the Bible like she had never done before. Her faith grew, and she grew closer to Christ than she ever had been in her life. It was an amazing transition. It gave her strength to carry her through what was going to be a rough and long time. It was tough to see her go through that. It was tough to go up to the hospital. But there were times that we'd go up there and she would look and you see these young children affected by illness. And she would say, "Dad, why them?" There were times when we would cry and say, "Why her?" But it isn't always just a curse. God always gives us hope within that. And her faith is in Christ. And I know where she is now, and I know that she is safe and sound. She got extra time that we never thought would have. She got to see her son graduate from high school and go on to college. She got to see her little girl grow into a young lady. And she's not gone. I hug my granddaughter and I hug both at the same time because I see my daughter and my granddaughter. It's a joy that God has given us. 10 days after Amy passed, God gave us another blessing in Delaney. What a joy. What a surprise. We have a loving God who, even though we go through times of trouble, He is there with us. And knowing that God was there as Amy struggled was a joy to me. We don't always see the whole picture. We don't know what is going on. We don't know the plans that God has for us. But I know the plans that He has for us are great and beautiful. And the plan eventually is to bring you home. I miss my daughter terribly. But I find joy in the fact that she knew her Savior intimately. And He is with her. When I was a young man, 5 or 6 years ago, we moved to Florida. We lived in Florida for 3 years. In those 3 years, we went through two hurricanes. Now, if you've never been through a hurricane or a tornado, it is fierce. The winds pounded like crazy at the house. You thought the windows were going to explode. The rain came down just in buckets, and it was flooding, and it was just uncontrollable. The power of the storm was immense, and it was scary. Then all of a sudden, the eye of the storm comes in, and everything just gets quiet. It's amazing. There's a safety, there's a silence, there's just nothing. The storm's still there, it's swirling all around you. Jesus Christ is that eye in the storm. If you can hold on to your faith, if you can seek the Creator of the universe, you will never be alone when you face a storm. He is there with you and wants to give you a good and wholesome life. No matter what we go through, He is there. Unfortunate thing for us as human beings, we don't see the whole picture. We don't totally understand God's plan. Just last week, my wife and I were watching a movie that Becky Hess shared with us called Do You Believe? And at the end of the movie, there was a sort of talk that this guy had that just made it so clear, that made this, it just, I had to share it. The guy spoke and it went like this. I'm not sure any of us get to see the whole picture, the God's eye view, so to speak. It's like we are little children sitting on the floor, gazing up at the backside of a tapestry that's being woven. To our eyes, it seems ugly. The colors are jumbled and none of it makes sense. But one day, we will no longer be sitting on the floor. We will come around to the other side and see the genius of God's handiwork. It will become clear. And at the center of it all, we'll see the cross. But in that immense tapestry, we will also see a single, unique thread. Only one of its kind in color. That our life has added to the piece. That one thread without which the whole thing would somehow be incomplete. Personally, I can't wait to see His masterpiece. This picture is one of my favorite pictures. Because to me, it exemplifies my life. Jesus Christ is on, spent that time on the cross because of my sins. Yet in times of trouble, in times of great strife, in the storms that affect us in this world, He holds me and shelters me. Don't lose your faith when the storms come in. Reach out, because you have a loving Savior that wants to be there with you. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You so much for the blessings that You share with us each and every day. Your loving kindness is beyond the scope of our minds. Father, we just ask, first and foremost, Lord, that those who have gone before us, hold them close. Embrace them while we can. Lord, and just help us to know that we will see them again. Father, we thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross. We thank You that You are a Savior who will never desert us and never leave us. That even through the worst of times, You share a blessing. You give us that glimmer of hope that we need. Father, we thank You for being the loving, caring God that You are. And we just praise you for it. Amen.